Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan with a distinguished and socially distanced panel of local politicians. We're here to discuss the way we were in 2020 and perhaps the way things might improve in 2021. Joining me to discuss the lockdowns and the tiers, the busway and the metro, clapping for carers, eating out to help out, the promise of vaccines to come, and much more, we have James Palmer, who's the Conservative Mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, Lewis Herbert, Labour leader of Cambridge City Council, and for the Liberal Democrats, Bridget Smith, leader of South Cam's District Council. And you may be surprised to hear how well they get along. This is not a show for shouting and political point scoring. We're all in a mood of post-festive harmony and contentment. At least I hope so.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So in this extraordinary year, who's done best politically? That's what we want to find out first of all. I'm going to start with you, Mayor James Palmer. What do you think of the Conservative Party, the government's response to the pandemic and the other issues that they've had to deal with in 2020?
Starting with other issues and moving on to pandemic, I think clearly the government have put forward exactly what they said they would do in their manifesto pledge, which is clearly to deliver on Brexit. And we've seen that that's happened and it will be voted through this week. And I think that governments who do what they say they're going to do are generally held in certain regard by the public. And I think that's very important. I think there's also been good steps forward in other areas, policy and immigration and as well. But I think clearly 2020 is going to be judged on the pandemic, and it's a pandemic that's seen governments across the globe struggle. There's no doubt about that. There's no the usual thing that happens with government is they go to the civil servants and somebody in the civil service has been there and done it before and they have a blueprint to work from. That's certainly not the case with the pandemic, of course. And clearly we didn't know what we were facing in the early days, and that has manifested now to a situation where we've got some more idea of what we're facing, but the infection rates keep coming back at us. And clearly where this government will be seen to have won, I think, is on their fast work with vaccinations, where they're ahead of the world, which is very important.
As obviously, you say, we'll talk about the pandemic later. But Lewis Herbert, can I come to you for just a short general appraisal of where we are and how the government's done in 2020 and indeed how your party has reacted?
Well, I think we were never prepared. The government did have an opportunity in 2016. It did a major pandemic exercise and it decided against any stocks of PPE. So I think for me, there's only been room for one plan, and we've worked with the government and with other councils, but we've always been chasing the game, and that's led to excess deaths. We had them celebrating Cheltenham races when they should have been focusing on locking us down 2 weeks earlier. So I think as opposition, I think Keir Starmer has challenged Boris in the House and successfully. And we only got a second lockdown reluctantly, but we still need to keep people safe as our first priority. As James said, the biggest issue this year, like last year, is a pandemic.
Bridget Smith, from a Liberal Party perspective, you've got, of course, a new leader, haven't you, Sir Ed Davey?
We have. Now, obviously, you know, within national politics, ours is not as big a voice as the other two parties. But actually, I think my feeling is, particularly with the pandemic, that the people who've done best politically are local government. And actually, I'd say local government of all political parties. You know, I've spent quite a lot of time working with the Local Government Association, which is obviously a cross-party organisation. And I see my contemporaries of all parties and none slogging their guts out this year. It's been really hard. And actually, I think local government, district, county councils are the people who've done best and who will, you know, are continuing to fight everything that we've got to deal with, be it Brexit or the pandemic, on the front line, and who are actually delivering and who people have confidence in. We are the most trusted level of government.
So lots of local issues to pick up, of course. But let's just go with what you were saying there, Bridget, about the local response being rather good. I think there's been a general sense, even in right-wing newspapers, that Andy Burnham's done pretty well in the Northwest and Andy Street in the West Midlands. As a mayor, James Palmer, do you feel that you've been consulted enough, that government has listened to you and indeed ever asked you what you think?
Well, we've had regular meetings with ministers all the way through, as we have a group called the M9, which is the mayors. And of course, until this last 2-3 weeks or so, Cambridgeshire has been very lightly touched by the pandemic. And clearly that's a significant difference now. So, of course, as you would expect, I've written to the Chancellor and to Robert Jenrick with my concerns over protection for business in Tier 4. So, yes, I think that we have been listened to. I think it's important. In Cambridgeshire, we were able to get out some significant COVID investment into business, which businesses which were actually between the lines of government help. So we were able to get almost $6 million directly into the economy for small business here. And I think that's seen a significant boost to those companies. And it's clear that this is a difficult situation to deal with. I've been very frustrated through the period and made my points known to government that national lockdown didn't seem very fair on areas where there's very low amounts of cases. And I think that the tiered system is a better system than a full national lockdown. But, you know, Lewis, I know, disagrees with that wholeheartedly. And that's the great thing about politics. So I think Cambridgeshire as a whole has been locked down at large periods of last year when it didn't really need to be. But I think at this moment in time, being in Tier 4 is probably appropriate.
Well, Lewis Herbert, let's pick up James Palmer's point there. Your view then on the whole tiered approach to Cambridgeshire?
Well, I preferred it when we were listened to. Since November, government has told us and there hasn't been any input. James and Bridget will remember a meeting that we had actually the same day as Boris was considering lockdown, when it was decided that Cambridge shouldn't go up a tier, Cambridgeshire. So I think that, as Bridget has said, that local teamwork, I mean, the input of local people have looked after each other in streets. There's been far more community spirit in the last year than in my lifetime, and I'm not young. So I think I err on the side of saying people have looked after each other. Cities have looked after themselves. Government really hasn't listened to us. And I hope that in the coming year, as we get the vaccination rolled out, that there is a better partnership, because it hasn't felt like that, particularly in the last few months. And if there's going to be economic and social recovery, we've got 2,000 more people unemployed in Cambridge than a year ago, then it has to be locally led. Then there has to be an ability for local communities to show how good they are. And they have been bloody good.
Bridget Smith in South Cambs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it took, I think, 2 weeks in South Cambridgeshire for us to get community groups up and running in every single one of our over 100 villages. So, you know, the local response has been formidable. I think with government, I think the mistakes they made earlier on were by not listening to the experts. I think that lesson's been learned now. You know, I would have liked to have the medics, the epidemiologists, the virologists, of whom I'm related to one, listened to far more closely from the outset. Whether it would have made any difference, you know, goodness only knows. But I have more confidence when it's experts making decisions about our health rather than politicians. And I think it's a constant failing of politicians that we interfere in health and we interfere in education instead of letting the experts take control and advise us appropriately.
One issue that's emerged very much in towards the end of 2020 is this business of how local government works and how you guys all work with each other. James, you said in the parliamentary committee that you think that local government in Cambridgeshire is massively muddled. I think that was the expression you used. Is it possible to get anything done? Is there enough clarity about who's in charge of what?
No, there's absolutely not enough clarity, and there is far too many levels, far too many levels. You mentioned Andy Street earlier and Andy Burnham as well. They work in a system where they have two tiers only, themselves and the councils they deal with. We have district, county, we have Peterborough City Unitary, we had the GCP, we had the Combined Authority. That's just a ridiculously big, large, unnecessary amount of government. I've been saying for longer years than I've been mayor, Trevor, that it needs to be sorted out. And it seems to me that devolving power down to the districts and taking out a tier is a sensible option. Mini unitaries as such across Cambridgeshire is what I've been talking about since, 2012, I think. So, I haven't seen anything to change my mind on that. And certainly, as I've said to publicly as well, and I don't expect Lewis and Bridget to come in and back me up on this, but having the GCP and the Combined Authority in the same space is absolute nonsense. It's civil servant overload.
Let me just interrupt you and just clarify for everybody. This is the Greater Cambridge Partnership.
That's right.
And yes. And you've wasted no time in saying that you don't think that they're a good idea. I have this vision of the civil servants who work with you and with them kind of sitting across the table saying, yeah, but whose job is it to do this? It seems like a recipe for nothing to happen.
This is a mess that's made by civil servants in London that carries on because of the obstinance and stubbornness of civil servants in London. And just to give you an example, Trevor, where we've managed to work together up in Peterborough with the Unitary Authority and work very closely, we've delivered a brand new university in 3.5 years to get space in the ground. In Cambridge with the GCP muddling over the same space as the Combined Authority, it's created nothing but mess and pathetic progress in areas that could be sorted out, to be honest with you. So it's a lot of red tape, a lot of unnecessary haggling over issues, which quite frankly, Lewis and I and Bridget could probably sit in a room and sort out in an hour or two, but it's messed around by over-bureaucratic, unnecessary tiers of government.
Well, let's come to Lewis about that at the City Council in Cambridge. Is that how it looks to you? Do you think you could sit round a table with Bridget and James and get it sorted, Lewis?
Think about it slightly differently. I do think that the government cocked up devolution. I mean, it never really gave James any real powers. And so my reading is that James, in the absence of having real powers, has been trying to bully other people. So we've been stopped at the GCP from really getting on with the job. James caused us to halt for 8 months in 2018, and we lost nearly all of 2020 at a time when some of us had a bigger priority to deal with, when we should have been making greater progress. So I would hope that James learns, and should he be re-elected, and then there's a load of elections coming up, that he actually is a listening partnership person rather than someone who wants to run the world. So I think it all depends on characters as well as how we approach these things.
Let's go to Bridget and see if she feels bullied. Bridget?
I'm very mindful. This is still the season of goodwill, so I'm not going to go slinging mud around the place. I think we are all... I don't object to the structure. The GCP is there to deliver just for Greater Cambridgeshire. The Combined Authority's job is the whole of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. I think it's quite reasonable that the GCP take the City Deal money, which was a deal that was signed up to by my predecessor, who was a Conservative. People of all political persuasions there. No Lib Dems at the time, though. I think the Lib Dem MP for Cambridge City was very, very involved in it at the time. So it was, it was a cross-party deal, and it was a very, very good deal, and it was a huge load of money. And, there are really excellent people delivering on it. I think it just takes a little bit more willpower and intent on everyone's part to be working really, collaboratively together to get everything, moving. It's done tremendous work so far. GCP has delivered no end of stuff, and really, really ambitious stuff, which I'm very proud of indeed. And I think it's within all our gift just to get over the last few hurdles.
Well, let's pick up one particular issue that's been in the news because of this, if I may say so, dispute. James, the busway. This is the plan to have a busway from Camborne into the city centre. How many people are involved in this decision? It seems like, something from the life of Brian.
Well, I can tell you the people that are not involved in the decision, and that's the general public, who have been consistent in their disappointment and anger that there's not been proper consultation on the routes through to Camborne. And, you know, I was shocked to see that in the recent GCP meeting, I've been invited as a non-voting member. I was the first politician ever to vote against the civil servants' recommendations at a GCP meeting. That seems to me that people are saying one thing to the public and not delivering on their behalf. And ultimately, my job as mayor, I'm there as a representative of the general public to put forward their views when they feel that they've not been listened to. And, you know, for me to say I just tried to bully my way through, the reality here is that I'm putting an alternative voice, which is the voice of the public. And the GCP has run roughshod over the views of the general public, as far as I can see, for pretty much the whole time it's been involved. So, you know, lack of proper consultation, bullying through projects that are ill thought out, ill conceived and short term, and not trying to work appropriately with its partners. So, you know, I have to put an alternative voice that might not be seen as a popular voice with the other two members on the call here. But really, quite frankly, I'm not answerable to Bridget or to Lewis. I'm answerable to the general public, and they feel really, really peeved at what's been going on. And that's my job as a politician. My politician is to bring forward the views of the public, listen to them, and not to cry off and do something different just because I've been elected into a position. And I certainly take that responsibility very, 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 very seriously.
James Palmer, you didn't get voted in by an enormous number of people. I mean, your majority was high, but not many people, or not as many people as I think any of the three of you here would like, are actually interested in local politics when it's come to the time to vote. You know, why do you think it is? Because, you know, people are very anxious to talk about local issues. And James, take that one first, and then we'll go around the table.
Well, I think the number across Cambridgeshire was 35%, which is devastatingly low. And I never understand it. Lewis and Bridget have both mentioned the strength of local government and how important it is to people. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that the way that you can touch and change people's lives isn't through Westminster. It's through local government. That's how you can serve the people the best as a politician. And it has always been of a complete and utter mystery to me as to why people will turn out 65, 70% to vote in a national election, but only half of those people will vote in a local election. And of course, then you bring, when you have such low numbers of voters, you bring forward fringe parties. I'm only just saying this to wind you up, Bridget, but you bring forward fringe parties like the Liberal Democrats, who nationally don't have a cat in the hell's chance, quite frankly, of being involved in any decision making. But at a local level, they become more relevant because there's less people out there voting. I can't, if you ask me to put my finger on it, why people don't turn out in large numbers for local government when the things that we do massively impact on their lives and can change their lives for the better so much more than national. I don't know.
I'm coming to you, Lewis, but I'm going to just put this point to you, which is perhaps the reason that they don't come out in those large numbers is what we talked about earlier, which is they're not sure what you do. They're not sure who's in charge of what and how they get anything done, how they express an opinion that's going to become policy that can legitimately be carried out.
Well, we have too many councils. I don't think the public is too bothered as long as the jobs are done. I know that the turnout isn't great, but it's not great in other countries in local elections. James kind of makes out he's the only one who thinks about the public. And I think you'll find that both Bridget and I eat and sleep and are awake thinking about looking after our communities. And that overall, people have got a good regard for their local council. So people who vote decide the election. We're going to have four sets of elections in 2021. District council, in our case, county council, mayoral, police and crime commissioner. We will, I hope, during those elections, explain why they've got those four different sets of elections. But ultimately, overall, I think we're well served by our officer teams. I'd like to shout out for the council workers in the last year who have done a stunning job across Cambridgeshire working with the communities. So I think local government works well. I've been involved in it for over 40 years. I've been a councillor for 22. Of course, I might say that, but I don't believe my views are any different than they were when I started, which is we are here to serve the people and we work hard to do it.
Bridget Smith, can I pose a question to you as a Liberal Democrat councillor and council leader? What difference has it made to you that you briefly, having had a Tory MP for ages, suddenly had a Liberal Democrat MP? And before that, of course, whatever she was, Change for Indy or whatever, having Heidi Allen and then having another Tory, has that changed your relationship with the politics at constituency level?
So it was very lovely to have for a short while a Liberal Democrat MP, because this was somebody in Heidi who was really able to represent Liberal Democrat values at parliamentary level. It's my job to be able to work collaboratively and productively with our MPs, regardless of what party they belong to. And I currently have two Conservative MPs who I meet with regularly, who, you know, we task with, you know, making sure that the South Cambridgeshire voice is heard at national level. Obviously, I would far rather it was a Liberal Democrat MP, but you know, we all have to work together. It's going back to what we were talking about earlier in regards to GCP and the combined authority. Politics only works for people if everybody is working well together.
You're listening to Bridget Smith, Liberal Democrat leader of South Cambs District Council, Lewis Herbert, leader of Cambridge City Council, and James Palmer, Mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. This is a programme we've called This Year, Next Year, because it's about this year and next year. I'm Trevor Dan. Apologies for the occasionally less than perfect technical quality today, but we are all in our own homes in various parts of the county with a variety of microphones and broadband speeds.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Bridget, while you're on and your line is functioning well, have you got any comment to make about these proposals that we've started reading about just in the run-up to Christmas about a potential major development? Some people are even calling it a new town in South Cambs, round about Orwell, Meldrith, Foxton. Are you in favour of that?
So currently there is no there's no application. So we're talking about something that's completely theoretical. The site hasn't even been submitted into our local plan call for sites. So it's not a thing. It's a press release. We've just done a call for sites as part of the new local plan process, which we're doing jointly with Lewis and the City Council. We've had hundreds of sites put forward. I'm not expecting any more than, you know, a handful of those to survive through to actually be part of a local plan. Anyone with any land is welcome to submit it, and it will be, you know, properly considered based on the priorities that we jointly decide are most important. And that will be things like the environment and climate change and becoming a zero carbon district. So I can't be in favour or against something that actually doesn't exist in any state other than just a press release out of the blue.
Lewis Herbert, in general, are you in favour of more housing in Cambridge and its surrounding villages?
Well, my priorities are we've got to be inclusive. We've got to deal with the fact that people can't afford to buy houses in Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire. So that's why we're building 540 council homes. That's why one of our key priorities will be the delivery of affordable housing. We are still working out, Trevor, how many homes in the future will be needed. And things like Fakenham's proposals coming out of the blue don't help. We have been shown that we've got limits on water, and we knew that water abstraction was damaging the Cam and chalk streams. So we have to do it within our environmental capacity. We have to be able to get to net zero carbon. Hooray for having a US president who actually believes that the planet is at risk. And we've got to deliver things for our people. But huge growth? I don't think so. Linked up better transport? Yes. Growing out to Haverhill, Mildenhall, other parts of Cambridgeshire, St Neots, linking up far better. That I think is going to be just as critical. And that's where we do want to work with James on a vision for the 2030s of far better transport, as well Trevor, as delivering on transport for the moment, because at the moment we really do not have enough public transport to serve our city.
Where are you, Lewis, on the Cambridge to Bedford, Cambridge to Oxford, eventually, railway line?
Totally supportive, albeit that I had hoped that they'd come up with a route that goes to the north of Cambridge. And we lobbied for the route along the A428 because I do think that that links in with roads, and it also links in with plans for the CAM Metro and for local transport. So we are not part of some mega growth arc. What matters is what happens out to the west, out to the east and to the north of us. So yes, we really do need that rail link. And it's great that it's there to be had, and it will link Cambridge and the east of England far better to the north and to the west, and be a real bonus and assist sustainable growth.
Some people, James, would say that we shouldn't be bothering about all that when we can't drive between Cambridge and Peterborough with any great degree of confidence because of the road system. I mean, what is your objective in terms of travel actually within Cambridgeshire itself?
Well, first of all, I would probably like to update you on travelling between Cambridge and Peterborough since the new A14 upgrade, and it is a significantly different experience now.
It's a bit better, I grant you that.
It's a lot better, as we know. But it's expensive. Investment into roads, £1.4 billion for 19 miles of road, not necessarily the most environmentally friendly way of delivering transport. And clearly that's why we're looking at CAM Metro as a solution for Cambridgeshire. And, you know, although some people balk at the cost of CAM Metro, and it is expensive, when you compare it to the necessary upgrade to the road system, should we not invest into CAM Metro, it's a bargain in comparison. I mean, the reality is, if you look at putting public transport through, as Lewis mentioned, if you're just going to use the current road system, it needs massive upgrades all over the south of Cambridgeshire. And for 19 miles of upgraded A14 at £1.4 billion, in comparison to 140 miles of CAM Metro in the £3 to £4 billion realm, then you can see that CAM Metro is actually cracking value, and it's obviously far better for the environment to try and put people onto public transport. And our ambition for CAM Metro is significant. And I don't think Cambridge and Cambridgeshire should be ashamed of being ambitious. We sit back and look at other parts of the world go from strength to strength because of our ambition, and yet we have been clouded in under ambition for a generation. Outside of the business community, we seem to be timid and tepid in our response, and we've got to do better, which is why I put for CAM Metro. It does spread the pressure of growth to a wider area. There is a simple fact that has been going on in the Cambridge area, and there's a reason why Cambridge house prices are so expensive. It's not because they're near London. It's because Cambridge creates more jobs than it builds houses. The Cambridge region creates more jobs than it builds houses. And this problem will perpetuate. And until we get a situation where we can move people around cleanly, safely and quickly, we won't be able to tackle that or beat that housing crisis, because we simply build far, far fewer houses than the demand. And that's, you know, whenever we hear about houses, Trevor, we always hear about the people who don't want them. But let me give you an example of the 100K homes that we've just built in Fordham. Fordham is a village of around 2,200 people. 160 young people applied for and were eligible to live in 8 £100,000 homes. So, you know, we could be building. The demand for houses just to supply the people who already live in our communities, the silent majority of people who need houses, who can't afford to live in them. This is a substantial problem that we have to have our eyes wide open to.
Lewis Herbert, just to come back to the Metro, do you see a vision of nice little trams trundling through the city centre?
Well, I do think going underground is right. And the work was started before James was elected. And we do believe that tunnelling in narrow tunnels is the way forward. So we have got a historic, lovely city centre. It isn't feasible even to put trams through And then you add cyclists, and cycles and trams do not work together. So I think we do need to have a 21st century transport solution. But is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? How is it going to be funded? And those answers have still not been found. And we've been trying to work and generally working well on the project jointly with James. And we've got to come up with some of those answers, as well as deal with the transport for the next 10 years, because I don't see the metro happening in a big way for at least 10 years.
Lewis Herbert, while we're on the subject of the city streets, are you enjoying the scooters?
We've had Mobikes, Ofo bikes, now we've got Voi scooters and electric bikes.
And they're mostly at the bottom of the cam.
Well, I hope that the electric scooters haven't ended up there already. I have seen Ofo bikes dragged out. I thought Ofo and Mobike did a good job and properly managed a higher scheme, including the ones that James has spawned, will be good. But will it be here in another year's time? I don't know whether Voi will still be here. I hope they will. But what we're missing, Trevor, is the tourists. So we used to get over 8 million visitors in visits a year, and we're not going to get them back for another couple of years. If we've still got the electric scooters in 2 years' time, I do foresee them being really useful by tourists and by people on day trips, as well as lesser visits. This was a very ambitious time to start such a scheme. I hope it succeeds.
Coming back to you, Bridget Smith, at South Cams, and I live in South Cams, so I know a lot of people around these villages, and they're all saying, do you know what? Cambridge is quite nice recently. You know, we miss some of the bars and pubs and so on, but there's nobody there. You can get in, you can always park. They like that kind of return to the 1950s almost, but it's no good for trade, is it?
It's no good for trade, be it in the city or in South Cambridgeshire. You know, that is a disaster. But, you know, going back to the whole sort of rationale over the Cam Metro and so on, this is about getting people out of their cars. And ideally, I would like to be significantly reducing car ownership in South Cambridgeshire, because it costs a lot of money to run a car. And if people have access to a really high quality, affordable, reliable public transport system, then they won't have to have the three or four cars I see sitting on people's forecourts. So that will then impact on their lives and free up money. On the subject of businesses, goodness only knows where this is going to end. I'm extremely worried about the pubs in our South Cambridgeshire villages, which are the heart of many of our villages. And, I am looking to government to see what they are going to do to make sure that those pubs survive through COVID in order to continue to be the heart of our villages.
James Palmer, is this something that you can turn your mind to, the what we're learning to call the hospitality industry?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying, not just to government, but publicly as well, how concerned I've been about how the hospitality industry has been struggling during this pandemic. And clearly, it's not just the people who run the pubs. The people who work in the pubs are low paid, they're often young, and clearly they are severely affected as well. And, you know, this is a major problem. So, you know, I've written to government when Peterborough went into tier four. I will follow that up with another letter with Cambridgeshire in tier four. We have to make sure, as Bridget mentioned, that our hospitality industry is still there and still strong post-COVID, post-vaccinations. And so I will continue to bang the drum for the hospitality industry. I think what we saw in the summer was an exceptional scheme by Rishi Sunak, which was the Eat Out to Help Out, which was so incredibly successful. Some companies continued it on, some chain companies continued it past the end of the four-week period. I expect there to be something similar to that once we get the vaccination system up through 25, 30 million people. I expect there to be something similar again, maybe lasting for 2 or 3 months, or maybe a six-week period and then another one later in the year to just encourage people back in to those public houses and restaurants, because they are part of our rural community and an integral part of our rural community. And losing them would see villages become ghost towns or ghost villages.
Lewis Herbert, picking up James's point, which I think is I think he sounds quite optimistic, really, about what's going to happen after the pandemic, whenever that is. But Cambridge City is a bit depressing right now, isn't it? I mean, there is a lot of cardboard against a lot of windows at the moment. It doesn't feel like the buoyant place that it did.
Well, it's still a lot more successful than most town and city centres. So it's got a good range of independents and it's got a lot of shops. It did hugely benefit, despite the fact that we had people nagging us saying tourists were a bad idea. The tourist pound was huge. As I mentioned, we've got a lot of people out of jobs and many of those were already in low-income families. And I think what we need is some smarter stuff from the Chancellor. I don't like the idea of people being paid on furlough by employers who are just going to sack them in March and April. And I do think there needs to be some of the same kind of joint work that we've had with James and with Bridget in South Cams to actually enable the hospitality sector to recover and also to rethink town and city centres. We really have to rethink towns and cities right across the UK, and there needs to be sector-based programmes. I'm really fearful about what's going to happen at the end of furlough, because people are just basically not being told the truth by some of their employers. And I would like there to be more support. And I do think some of the businesses have done amazing in keeping going and diversifying. And we badly need those jobs. We've got people in abject poverty over this winter. We've got people living off their savings. And we do need that economy to bounce back. We've got a lot of good in Cambridge and in Peterborough and right across the county. We've got to build on that and we can rebuild.
Lewis Herbert, how important to you in this and the rest of the City Council leadership is the arts and entertainment side? You know, we're a radio station, so obviously we hear the tales, you know, from the Portland Arms or the Flying Pig or the Strawberry Fair or the Arts Theatre. We hear from those people regularly and they all feel they're not being helped enough. Do you think you have a role to make sure that they can flourish when the pandemic's over?
We can, but we've been stuffed as well. I mean, we're 10 million quid down what we've lost in income this year and not got back, and what we're not going to have next year. But you're absolutely right that we've got to start thinking about a summer plan. We've got to go outdoors a lot more, as well as indoors. We've got a corn exchange that can't open. We've got swimming pools that can't open. The arts theatre has just about tried to have a pantomime. We've got wonderful places like the Junction. A lot of these places serve much wider than Cambridgeshire, as well as the county. So, yeah, we do need to think through a plan, thinking through a bounce back. And certainly with vaccination, that should help a quicker recovery of indoor venues than we were planning. There needs to be more government money, and places like the Portland, the whole range of music and entertainment venues, they've got to bounce back, but they will need government help.
This is our look back at and forwards to the world of local politics in Cambridgeshire. Lewis Herbert, leader of Cambridge City Council, is on the line. So is Bridget Smith, Liberal Democrat leader of South Cams, and James Palmer, Tory mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. Through the miracle of the Clean Feed virtual studio, we're all on our usual platforms. And within minutes, we'll be a podcast too.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, we called this show Last Year, Next Year, or was it This Year, Next Year? I think it was. And the idea is to perhaps take a look at what might happen in 2021. Thank goodness we didn't do this in December 2019, because we'd never have guessed any of this correctly. But I'm just wondering if you could talk from the perspective of your parties about whether you have positive or negative feelings about next year. We haven't mentioned Brexit very much. We're going to have to, aren't we? Because it's going to have an impact one way or the other on our economic life. James Palmer, I'm going to come to you as mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. 2021, is it a year you're looking forward to?
Well, I think all of us are looking forward to a new year, aren't we? And we're going into it locked down, and we're going into it in a difficult situation. But I think that there is a great deal to be positive about. I think it's very exciting what's going to happen. I've been visiting businesses across Cambridgeshire that were mentioned earlier. We invested into small businesses, and the sense of opportunity that they're seeing, the excitement they're seeing for 2021. Is infectious. I hate to use that word, but it is. And there's no doubt in my mind that this country is in a very strong position to do very, very well post-Brexit. And, well, we're already post-Brexit, of course, but post the new deal. I expect that Bridget will have a different view. But, you know, I'll be brutally honest here. I'm somebody who voted to remain in the European Union, but I've become more and more and more convinced over the course of the last 3.5-4 years that the country made the right decision, and that we are going to be in a very strong position to take advantage of that free trade between us and Europe, but also those new free trade deals elsewhere in the world. And I expect them to come like a snowball now we have that free trade deal with Europe. And I think that the UK will be seen as a very, very, very good place to do international trade, where it has free trade deals both with the whole European bloc and also with individual countries elsewhere in the world. And I think that's going to give us a hell of a lot of opportunity.
Bridget Smith, South Cambs was one of the most Remainer constituencies. It's probably still one of the most Remona areas. How are you looking forward to 2021?
So I'm certainly looking forward to the back of 2020.
Yes.
You know, but really, you know, we're all just marking time until this vaccine's rolled out. So, you know, thinking past that, because, you know, really not much is going to happen. I think, you know, my party have a huge role to play in driving the green agenda. You know, we've done some fantastic work, and I think I think there's still lots for us to do. I think we're the natural party for small businesses, who I think some of the other parties are less interested in, and we're the party that represents the people whose voices are, you know, who have difficulty getting their voices heard. So Ed Davey's been doing a lot of work recently on carers. I've been a carer for 25 years. You know, nobody cares for the carers. It's really tough. And COVID has highlighted quite how tough it is. But for, you know, for disabled people, for you know, children who can't get the sort of educational advantage that we think is everybody's by right. So I think you'll be hearing more and more from the Liberal Democrats. And you know, when I became leader of South Cambridgeshire, I think we only had control of about 14 councils. We now control well over 40. So, you know, people know that we are a very, very successful party as far as local government's concerned. But I have every confidence that our voice is going to become far more significant in a post-COVID, post-Brexit world at a national level.
Lewis, how about you? Jeremy Corbyn will no longer be the albatross around your necks on the hustings. How are you going to do for Labour next year?
Well, I'm thinking locally, and yeah. I'm accepting the decision that there is a deal. I don't think that the deal is particularly thought out. I think the obsession with fisheries and a couple of side issues meant that we've let down the financial services sector. But the overall, I think we've got to manage that huge turbulence from coming out of Europe through the year. We clearly got to stay safe. I think we're not going to be safe until a vast majority of people are vaccinated. But I'm positive, and I think there's a table I saw which said that jobs actually grew in Cambridge in the last year, and I haven't ratified the information, but I think that we've got to get it right. We've got to come out with a greater focus on zero carbon. We've got big problems, as I've said. I am caring about the jobless people. I want to see more investment in skills and in those sectors that can bring people into jobs. And I want to see support for people, because a lot of people are just not going to have enough money to put food on the table for the next year. So it's not going to be an easy year, but I'm positive. And a lot of people, despite the fact that they've used up their savings, will be looking at 2021 and working out how can they make it work for their families. And I think they will.
So the people I'm listening to are saying one of two things about next year. It's either going to be yet another divisive year, because there's going to be a lot of argument about, well, I did well out of Brexit, but you didn't, or I've got the vaccination and you didn't, and I've lost my job and you've got yours. And they're saying it's not going to be a good year. On the other hand, I hear people saying, no, clapping for the NHS is a sure sign that the country has come together and we're heading off towards the sunlit uplands and you know, our own kind of roaring 20s. James Palmer, do you feel optimistic as you look forward?
Well, I certainly do, and I feel optimistic for Cambridgeshire and Peterborough in particular, because, you know, Lewis mentioned investing into skills, and we've been doing that now for the past 3.5 years as a combined authority. We've transformed the adult education budget by spinning it round and putting it in the hands of those people who need it most, and making sure that people can get trained into better opportunities, even just people being able to learn English in certain parts of Cambridgeshire is enough to give them the confidence to go out just to go to the shops. It's amazing what transformation adult education can make. And I think that's something I'm very, very proud of. And of course, the investment into our new university, which I believe could be an MIT for Cambridgeshire. I think it's a really, really exciting thing. So I look at the investment coming into our county. I look at what the university is doing for Peterborough and what Cam Metro will do for the south of Cambridgeshire. I look at the new opportunities in public transport, investment into the railway stations, investment in new railway stations at Cambridge South and at Soham, investment in the railway stations in the Fens. And I really see a positive future for our county and for our country. And our country needs Cambridgeshire to lead us out of the mire that we've been in, because our Cambridgeshire is one of only two parts of the country outside of London that invests positively into the UK economy. We pay in around £5 billion a year. And I think that we can do even better with the right investment into the right areas. So, you know, I'm very confident that Cambridgeshire can be at the vanguard of the future success of this country. And I'm very confident that what the combined authority has done over the last 3.5 years has set Cambridgeshire, put Cambridgeshire in a position where it has a template for real success that is inclusive rather than exclusive.
And will you be standing again to be mayor next year?
Yes, absolutely. I'm very proud to have retained the nomination for the Conservative Party. And you know, I'm very proud of our record, as you would expect. And I'm very much looking forward to fighting with my loving friends at the Liberal Democrats and Labour Party and going to the public and asking for their support. And I think the public will see and have seen the tangible difference that having a mayor for their region can make. And I think that, as I said, I'm very excited about the election. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward, I hope, given the public support, to another 4 years in this wonderful role.
Lewis Herbert, what about the City Centre Labour Party? Are you looking forward to a successful 2021? You've got elections as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got all up elections. And yeah, I think we will be hearing a debate between three parties about what needs to be done. I want to hear from a mayoral candidate who really is going to grasp the challenges of next year. I've been underlining in the last hour the challenges, particularly when unemployment is three times as high amongst under 25s. I don't think it is going to be that easy suddenly to rebound. And I do think that the whole skills and local agenda needs to be targeting the ways that we can help the hospitality sector and new skills for younger people, so that we come out to next Christmas with far more people and jobs. That's my priority for the next year.
And what about the South Cams Lib Dems, Bridget Smith? Are you looking forward to getting back on the doorstep?
Oh, well, it's always lovely to talk to people, and that, you know, and people are very, they always seem terribly pleased to see us on the doorstep. We care about people, and people know that we really, really care about them. And if on the doorstep they tell us they've got a problem, you know, we do our best to go away straight away and respond to it and solve their problem for them. So that will be lovely. I'm missing people generally, quite honestly. I'm a people person, and being locked up from March doesn't suit me at all. So of course I look forward to it.
Well, look, I was going to ask you both as we head towards the end of this this programme. One of the things that happens when you take an interest in politics is you have to be good at meetings. You have to be good at standing up and addressing a bunch of people who may not agree with the words you say. Now, for the most part of this year, all three of you have had to look at a screen with some faces on it. And I'm just wondering what difference that has made to the way that you conduct your business. Can we start with Lewis?
Well, it has been weird, and I wouldn't like to compare some of the online meetings to the Muppets, but we have had some fairly strange ones across the county with people smoking fags or being rude to each other here and there. But I like Bridget telephoning up people and doing stuff online. It just ain't the same. So you have to be in the company of people to really understand what they want and to be clear about issues. So I'm looking forward to getting back into the Guildhall, and I'm looking forward to going on the doorstep. At the moment, we can't really go on the doorstep, and I don't think that's going to change for a few months. I'd like to see all postal vote election option in the background, because if it isn't safe to have the elections, what's going to happen to all those four elections that only a third of people are going to go out to vote in, but we care about?
James Palmer, you must have a different relationship with those civil servants you've talked about when they're only on a screen. I bet you want to poke the little square of your monitor, don't you?
I really don't like Zoom. I don't think it's good for mental health. I don't think it's good for decision making. I don't think it's good overall. However, it's been good this year because it's allowed the nation to continue and for us to continue to make decisions and work. Although clearly, as Lewis has just said, I'm sure Bridget totally agrees, I'm sure she has said as well, you know, politics is about people, it's about meeting people, it's about having chats. And you know, we all know that things that are said in an email or in a text or on behind a camera on Zoom can be misconstrued or can cause or have an effect that isn't necessarily positive in the way that talking things through face to face is. And I cannot wait to get out of bed, go to work and actually meet people. I haven't seen Lewis or Bridget since February. I'm sure they're very happy about that, but I haven't seen them since February. And despite our disagreements politically, we pretty much get on otherwise, you know. And I miss seeing people, and as I said, sooner the better that we can run push through this vaccination program and get to having proper meetings face to face with politicians and, of course, with those civil servants that I complained about earlier, the better.
Well, as Bridget said right at the beginning of this programme, this is the season of goodwill. And I think anybody who's stuck with us for the entire hour will be delighted and possibly surprised at the degree of rapport that there is among the three of you. You know, there's a real sense of, why don't these people get in a room together and bang their heads together? And it would, the decision making that affects people in the area where we live would all be better. So just really briefly, what could you do just to get on better? James, do you want to start?
Well, you know, I would say that clearly I'm there to be shot at by the other parties, and that's understandable. But I would say, look at what we've achieved together through the combined authority. Almost every vote that goes through the combined authority is unanimous. That's quite an achievement. Now, sometimes we disagree.
Sounds quite Stalinist to me.
Almost every vote that we have at the combined authority is unanimous in agreement. Now, we disagree on some issues, but that's the whole point of politics. It is about finding agreement through disagreement. And of course, that means in compromise. So, you know, of course, we're a few months before an election, and Lewis and Bridget are hardly going to say, oh, yes, the combined authority, we do agree on an awful lot, and therefore it's great. Isn't the mayor brilliant? I don't expect them to say that. But I would say to the public, look at what we're doing from a combined authority perspective. It is about cross-political agreement. And I think it's working well, and I think it will continue to work well over the next 4 years.
Let's give them a quick chance to say that then. Lewis, have you got one good word for James Palmer?
I like James personally, but I do think he's wasted a lot of money.
We'll leave it there. Bridget, a final word. Have you got anything nice to say about James?
Well, I wish everybody a very happy new year. I do hope you all get the vaccine very quickly, and I hope we can all enjoy being in a room together and sharing a cup of coffee and a bit of banter.
Well, thank you very much, all the three of you, for your very consensual performances today. James Palmer is Mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. Bridget Smith is the leader of South Cambs District Council. Lewis Herbert, leader of Cambridge City Council. Thank you all so much, and a very happy new year from Cambridge 105 Radio. And I'm sure all our listeners will see you at the hustings.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, and happy new year.
This year, next year, was a TDC production for Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Trevor Dan. Now, tomorrow evening, I'll be back with another special programme where some of the familiar names on the station and also some of the important people off air recall how we've stayed on air during the pandemic. It's a glimpse behind the scenes of your favourite station. It's Living La Vida Lockdown, 10 p.m. tomorrow. And tomorrow afternoon, you can relive our award-winning virtual Strawberry Fair, programmes made by volunteers from the station and from local venues to create the magic and romance of the Strawberry Fair, which wasn't to be in 2020. Here's a little reminder of what the judges in the Community Radio Awards and the Audio Production Awards thought was gold and silver award-winning.
It looks like the Mayor is ready to give his opening speech now.
I have the privilege of opening the very first virtual Strawberry Fair.
You and me got a strawberry fair.
Shall we go over to the kids' stage now, see what's happening there?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Hi, my name is Cordelia. I'm 9 years old. I really hope you like this song.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Throughout our part of the show, the Flying Pig will be playing all the musicians, all the people that would have graced our wonderful stage this year. We're very sad that we can't be there. We're going to miss the Strawberry Fair so much this year. But for you guys out there who would have come and witnessed our wonderful stage, we're going to try and do it justice on the radio today.